I did come with my family. First of all, my wife is in the back, Ali Shikarji, and she's holding our youngest little Sophie. And also in the back row, not the back row that's touching the wall, but the back row that's not touching the wall are her parents, and the Goodsons, Tom and Nancy Goodson are there. Hello. Okay. And my other children, Elise and Nora and Daniel. Well, no, Daniel's actually right up here. I'm not actually sure how that happened, but yeah, he's right up here with us. So we are going to actually get to know the family a little bit more, and me in particular, because a lot of people don't know, as we said earlier, I didn't have much of an introduction, my fault. And the first message, I did not take time to introduce myself. And the second message this morning, I did say something a little bit about my father and his background and where the name Shikarji came from. So if this is a test now, Shikar means
sugar.
And my great-grandfather was a candy maker, and that's how the name came into our family. Shikarji is the one who works with sugar. Okay, Daniel, go with your grandpa. There we go. Wave to everybody. Say hello. Yay! All right. I'm really, really glad this evening is starting informally, because the first part of what I'd like to say is very informal, and it's about me, and I actually was a little worried, which is why I didn't do it the first message. If I did this the first message, I'd really think, who did we invite here? But at least I gave two serious messages, so say, okay, well, now we'll listen. Okay. Another thing that's come up is why am I wearing this at family camp? This is another issue. Now, this morning, I think it was a little bit understandable. We met on Sunday morning and so on. But why has it stayed? And you have to understand, I didn't bring many warm weather clothes here. I'm used to it being about 104 degrees. And when the mornings are in the 60s and so on, and the evenings and the insides of the buildings are kept pretty well, especially if near some vents or something like that. So I just kept it around. So it's not I'm not making a statement. One person asked me, so I guess you must have to wear, you know, suits to work every day or something. It's like, no, I was just a little cold. Anyway, all right. Hopefully the questions are being answered that people were afraid to ask. Tonight, we are going to look at some biblical advice for young believers. And part of the reason that I was steering this way is because of, you know, seeing the number of young people that are here, particularly at the evening meetings. And I think it's wonderful. So some biblical advice. And this is going to be coming in the form of an informal fireside chat. So this is just some biblical advice from an older believer to younger believers. So very informal. Here we are by the fireside. I'm going to come into the room and share with you. So there I am. All right. So before we get into the scriptures, which will be serious, I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. I was born at a young age. I was born in Maryland. I live in Maryland today. I've spent most of my life in Maryland, except for a brief period, which we'll talk about in a little bit. I went to public school. Now, I'm not making a statement about what kind of schooling is the preferred schooling for Christians or anything like that. This is just my history. You can find me. I'm kind of in the middle. Anyway, yeah. Yeah, there I am. It's find where is Craig? My first day of middle school. Now, that for those of you that have gone through the public school experience, now we called it junior high back then, but here's what I felt like my first day of middle school. And if you felt like that, then if you're a young person and have felt like that, then just let you know that I can relate. And the older ones here among us, you can talk to about problems. We've been through a lot of these situations. I ran track in high school. Now, in case you were wondering, that one's me. So I have to say, I talked to Brother Warren Henderson today. Now, he ran track in high school, you see, and in college. He was actually a good runner. I did run. I wasn't good. Everybody on the team knew I wasn't good, but it was okay. I mean, they all, we got along great and everything. And, I was in the bottom section of the runners. But Brother Warren Henderson, now, he was a real athlete, and I think went on to college and scholarship, and that's how good he was. So, all right. I studied math and sciences. In fact, I went to lots of school. I went to the University of Maryland, and I did my undergraduate there. And then the only time I spent outside of Maryland living was during graduate school. And I went to Caltech, and that's where this person supposedly is. And I also went to UCLA. Now, all of these second two schools, they're in Southern California, and that is the mecca of Hollywood and filming and things like that. And literally, I would occasionally, it doesn't happen all the time, but once in a while, I would be driving somewhere and literally see a set on the side of the road where they're filming something. In my first couple months there, I saw it happen a couple times, and being a newbie, I had to stop and see what was going on, you know, and kind of poke around and what's being filmed, you know. Who's in it? Is any famous person there, you know? And after a while, I got used to it. But in my first couple months there, they were filming something, and I saw Bob Denver, Gilligan. And I actually talked to him for a little while. Here goes any reward that I might have had for that. But I did give him a tract. And anyway, we had a nice little conversation at one time. Now I do math for a living. And I work at this place. It's the National Institute of Standards and Technology. NIST is what we call it. And it's in a subject of measurement sciences, and I work with a lot of mechanical engineers. But some people can do math for a living. And the grounds of this facility are quite nice. That's a little deer at the bottom that you can barely see. And there are lots of deer on the grounds there. So if you ever are in Maryland, you have a place to stay. And I really mean that. If you take a trip to Maryland, call us up. Come stay with us. And you have a home there in Maryland, a little north of D.C., and a good place to come if you want to go see D.C. But as I said, I'm married with children now. I doubt this is going to work. I don't think it will. No, it turns sideways. I have no idea why it's doing this. But anyway, those are a couple of my kids that are not really sideways and not really that fat. But I don't know what went wrong with the AV. But anyway, but we have four children, thank the Lord. All right. Now, moving a little bit more into more serious things regarding advice from an older believer to the young ones. In school, they will teach you how to make a living, but they will not teach you how to live. They will teach you how to make a living, but they will not teach you how to live. And in fact, some of the people who are the best at teaching you how to make a living are some of the worst at examples of how to live. And God, in His Word, gives guidance on how to live. Now, I had you turn to Matthew chapter 7. Let's actually go there now for the first piece of advice. And the first piece of advice comes from Matthew 7, beginning in verse 22. Matthew 7, 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So the first piece of advice really is motivated by what the Lord Himself said, is make absolutely, positively sure you're saved. I want you to think about the things that people will say in that day that the Lord said. Many will come to me in that day and say, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders, that is, miracles in your name? Have you done those things? Think about that. If you have a person who has actually done those things, that person, if they did not genuinely believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation, if they've not received the Lord Jesus Christ into their life, looked at themselves as a helpless sinner in need of a Savior, that person is lost, in spite of the fact that they do all of these things. So make absolutely positively sure you're saved. This is not something to be taken lightly. And in fact, the sureness of your salvation is the groundwork by which you can build a successful Christian life. It's possible for you to be saved, but if you're always in doubt about that question, you will likely not progress in your Christian life. You'll be unstable, as the book of James says, like waves driven this way and that way and not getting anywhere. This is a fellow that I don't think anybody in the room knows. If you know him, you can come tell me afterwards. His name's Grant Edwards. He's a family friend that goes back years and years. Well, he, when he went through high school, somehow got to speak at his graduation. And I think it was because he was valedictorian. But he got up and he said, I want to talk about a successful life. What makes success? And he basically said, success is knowing for sure that you're going to heaven after this life. He said that at his graduation in public school. And if he did it today, I guess he'd get put in jail. I don't know what they would do to him. But no one, whoever you are, can credibly say you've lived a successful life if, at the end of that life, you don't know that you're going to heaven. Now, in my own life, I had a particular issue with this, particularly at about 13. Now, I was saved at about 6, and that's a story in itself, and I'm not going to go into great detail, but at age 13, I had a lot of questions, a lot of doubts, and it was interesting, and I may, in another message, be able to go into it in more detail, but basically, I had questions that nobody could answer. And it's not that they weren't smart enough. It's just that they were the kind of question that no one can answer. Questions, every time somebody would say, I would say, well, how do you know this is true? They say, well, you know, the Bible says it's true. And I say, well, how do you know the Bible is true? Well, it's God's word. Well, how do you know it's God's word? Well, no matter what they would say, I would in my mind say, well, how do you know that? And in that sense, I had questions that nobody could answer because I would just keep going back. And I was in turmoil for months. And ultimately, I had to seek the Lord for the answers. And it's a story in and of itself. Maybe during the week we'll have time to go into it. But seek the Lord for the removal of doubts. It drove me to the Lord. And I prayed that God has to make these things clear to me. He has to answer my questions. And it's funny, I didn't even know how he could answer my questions. But he did, and it's a story in itself. But seek the Lord for the removal of doubts. Seek him in his word, seek him in prayer, and make absolutely, positively sure you're saved. The second piece of advice from an older believer to the younger ones comes in Matthew 28. And you can turn there, and it's the command to baptize. Matthew 28 and verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. So the next piece of advice is, as if you're a believer, is to get baptized. This is to outwardly show that you've been saved inwardly. It's akin to somebody in the military putting on the uniform. They're identifying outwardly what side they're on. Nailing your flag to the mast. I know that's not a mast, but you get the idea. You identify yourself. You show outwardly whose side you are on, and you let people know outwardly by baptism that you have been saved. The third piece of advice comes in Proverbs 23, and these are simple, straightforward verses, but they are important. So if we come back to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 23 and verse 23. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and don't sell it. So this principle in the book of Proverbs that's coming as a piece of advice from me is find a way of getting into God's word that you really enjoy and go for it. Now, the most helpful part of this piece of advice is not that you need to get into God's word, because I think you've probably heard it many, many times already. You've probably heard that it's important to get into God's word. What may be helpful in this piece of advice is find a way that you enjoy. And this is important, because I was asked just 2 or 3 weeks ago. A young man came up and was saying, you know, what is the best way to get into God's word? Now, I said, listen, you can either get my answer or you can get the answer from a purist. The purist might say, well, let's see. First, you can't use any commentaries. Secondly, you have to get, you know, these different colored pencils and a blank piece of paper, and you get your Bible, and you do it this way, and you start here, and you study this, and you write down all the key words in the passage, and you do the following. I said, a purist might tell you that. And I said, but I'm not a purist in that sense. My advice to young people is, if there's a way that you can get into God's word that makes you do it, do it. In other words, you can get a group of people and you can teach them the ideal way of getting into God's word, and three people do it. Or you can tell them, listen, is there a way of getting into God's word that you connect with, that you enjoy, that makes you get God's word into you and remember it? And they say, well, I like doing it this way, but apparently that's not the best way of doing it. Well, listen, do it. You're young. Find a way of getting into God's word that you enjoy. And this could be different for everyone. All right? There are readers and there are listeners, and there are different kinds of people. I tend to be a listener. I'd rather listen to things. One time somebody gave me a book to read. I didn't want to read the book, but I liked the guy a lot. So what do? You like him a lot, but you know, you want to read it because he's a good guy. So it gives you a book to read. So what I did was I found the same book on Amazon. I bought the CDs. I ripped them onto MP3s, if I'm using the words wrong. I got them onto MP3s so I could listen to it on my MP3 player when I exercised, and I listened through the book that way. Then I was able to tell the guy I liked that I read the book. Well, I read in quotes, but I think it counts. So, I read the book. But the point is that different people are different. And find a way that you're going to do it. If it's not the ideal way, well, it's okay, you're young. You can get to the ideal way later. There are readers versus listeners. There are people that dig history. There are people who dig science. There are people who get into prophecy. Now, I wouldn't think prophecy would be the first thing you want to study. But if you won't study any other way, okay, then do it. Some people really get into biographies in the Bible or even of Christians that have lived wonderful lives. There are different kinds of people. Find the thing that clicks with you. Many of you know, and some of you are even related to in an in-law sense, Keith Kaiser. He was here last week. I know the Scots are related by marriage. They're the parents of his wife, things like that. Keith and I are great friends. We go back many, many years. Keith and I could not be more different when it comes to how we approach the Bible. Keith is a voluminous reader. He reads volumes and volumes and volumes. I don't know how he can do it. He loves football. He'll watch football games and read commentaries at the same time. I don't know. And I take that back. He will watch a football game, read a commentary, and have a conversation with you all at the same time. He's doing all of them, and occasionally you'll see the page flipped. He actually read it somehow and all of that. And yet he's still giving answers to your questions and watching the game. I've seen it. But he is that kind of a person. I'm not a voluminous reader. I'm more of a puzzler. I want a little puzzle. Give me a puzzle, and I want to go off and think about it. And yet we come together and we have great fellowship around the Word of God, because it's the same Word of God that we're getting into our minds different ways. So find a way. If you're into history, go into the history of the Bible. You can, once you get in and you start enjoying God's Word, you can branch out into the other areas, but you've got to find a way in that really clicks with you. Some people click with different speakers than others. There are great teachers of God's Word, and they have different styles. Bill McDonald, he's with the Lord now. He has a particular style. It's very appealing to somebody like me. John Lennox, well, actually, I like all of these people, but anyway. John Lennox is a different style. He's a mathematician. He looks at a lot of the scientific evidences and some scientific questions that come up regarding the scriptures, and he defends these issues with regard to the Word of God. David Gooding has another style still. Nicholson, it depends on which Nicholson you're talking about, but Boyd Nicholson and Jabe Nicholson have very different styles. And then there's a brother like Joe Reese, who has a style all his own. Now, the reason that I'm saying this is, what's the advice? Find a way of getting into God's Word that you really enjoy and go for it. And as young people, if you haven't launched into the Word of God, you don't have to get into the water at the same place that everybody else gets in. Okay? If you get into the water, you enjoy history and you enjoy certain teachers regarding that, well, get into the water that way, and somebody else might get into the water another way. Eventually, you'll have time to branch out and get into all of God's Word. But find the way that you enjoy. And if there are teachers that you really appreciate, find their messages. Most of them can be found on voicesforchrist.org. And I'm happy to say a brother in our local assembly in Maryland is actually the one that put the website together. And it's amazing. He's taken what he had in his hands, and this is what he's good at. He's good at making websites. This is what he does for a living. And he took what he had in his hands, and he used it for the Lord. And now, you know, tens and tens of thousands of messages per month. I think they're up to 40,000 a month or so being downloaded, maybe 50,000 a month being downloaded around the world. And people are being blessed all over the world because of this. So find a way, young people, find a way that clicks with you and get into God's Word like that. And you can do it the way the purists tell you eventually, but get into God's Word somehow. And then the fourth piece of advice is find ways of getting active that you really enjoy, or at least sort of enjoy, and go for it. This, again, I'm going to use the same words I had for the last slide, is different for everyone. It is extremely important to get involved. Let's turn to John 4 and find the principle that the Lord Jesus says. John chapter 4. And look down at verse 34, John 4 and 34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Food for the believer. We have three sources, right? Food for the believer. The Word of God is food, right? Christ himself is food. He's the bread of life. And the third one, if we're going to have a balanced diet, we need to have food from all these sources, is this. My food, says the Lord, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What the Lord is saying is, it is not merely his mission to do the will of the Father. That would be one thing. He says, it is my food to do the will of the Father. The food means he himself is being nourished as a result of this. He himself is being, well, if you want to say blessed, he himself gains by doing this. When he does the will of his Father and finishes his work, it not only does something for the Father, because that's who he's serving, but it does something for him. It is food to him. And this is important when we think of Christian growth. You young people, it is vital to be involved in the work of the Lord. Not just because the work of the Lord is good for those you're serving, but because it's good for you. If you were to find the church that had the very, very best teaching you could ever find, and you sat in that church from week to week, receiving the best teaching you could receive, does that imply you're going to become the best Christian you could become? No. And if you take people and put them in the military and say, we want these people to be as strong as they can be, so we're going to find the very, very, very best food to give them, and that's what they're going to do all day is eat this food, will they become the strongest soldiers they can be? No. It's great to have the right food, but you also have to work it out, right? There's work that you need to do. And the Lord Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work, implying that doing the work of God was good for him. And young people, doing the work of God not only is great for whoever you're serving, but it is good for you. It's good for you. Now, it may be different for everyone. Find your way in somehow. You can get into an encouraging ministry. There's always openings for that. Amen. You can find areas of practical service to help people in. You can become somebody who deliberately takes time to pray for people. Who deliberately takes time to pray for people. There's witnessing. There's teaching to the capacity that we can as young people. We don't know everything in the Bible, but we know a little bit, and we can communicate those things. There are different ways to get involved in working for the Lord, but it's important to find a way to do it. We don't want to just be on the receiving end, right? Now, I'm going to show you a picture. This is a picture. We all know what this is a picture of, right? I did this with a mouse. And you can I'm such an artist that you can still figure it out. And I even think it was a mouse with a touchpad, either not even a good mouse, you know, just. And we know what it is, right? Somebody? Yes, yeah, very good, very good. So this is Israel. And if this is the land of Israel, what am I touching right now? This is good. This is water. This is Mediterranean Sea. The land is over there. So this is land over here. And this squiggly thing running down the middle is the Jordan River. And it flows from north to south. And it flows down into this little heart-shaped little thing there. Whatever it looks like. It's what? The Sea of Galilee. Good. And then it flows down into the Dead Sea. Now, then where does it flow out of the Dead Sea?
Nowhere.
Nowhere, right. The Dead Sea is the lowest point on earth. It can't flow anywhere. So then why doesn't the Dead Sea overflow? If it gets inflow but no outflow, why doesn't it overflow? Yeah, it evaporates, and it evaporates at the same rate that it's filling. So there you go. How's the fishing in the Sea of Galilee? Good fishing up there. I've had the opportunity. Actually, our sister Vicky Gagne was on the trip the same year that I was on the trip to Israel back in 1994. And remember her and remember that trip fondly. And we saw people fishing on the Sea of Galilee. Good fishing there. The Sea of Galilie is full of life. Oh, our sister Janice, I'm so sorry. She was on the trip as well. Now I'm probably missing others. I'm sorry. There's 70 people on the trip. There's a good chance there are a few of you on it. Anyway, so great fishing up here. The Sea of Galilee is full of life. How's the fishing in the Dead Sea? Not so good. Not so good. Why? Now, I want us to think about this. What water feeds the Sea of Galilee? The Jordan River. What water feeds the Dead Sea? The Jordan River. Do you understand that these two bodies of water get the same input? But one of them's full of life and one of them is not. And the reason is not because one has better input than the other, because they both have the same input. The reason is one receives the input and also gives it out, and the other just receives it. And this is a lesson to us in the Christian life, and it's backed up by this verse by the Lord. And that is, it is not enough just to have input in our Christian life. And as young people, that's typically all we get, right? Young people, we just go to something and we listen, we go to something else and we listen, we go to something else and we listen. But in order to be vibrant, like the Sea of Galilee, full of life, we also have to give out what we're learning. And we give it out through service. We get it out through exercising ourselves in Christian things. Doing the things like I talked about. In some various ministries that we can be involved in. Various ways that we can get active and do something instead of just sitting around and having input. Now, I'll just give you one quick story about my brother. My brother is very different from me. He looks different. He acts different. He has different interests. We're about as different as two people can be, and yet we're brothers. We don't even look that much alike. But my brother, in his early 20s, late teens, early 20s, he was a believer. His spiritual life, we'll say, was kind of stagnant. Now, I'm not saying anything about him he wouldn't say of himself, but his spiritual life was kind of stagnant. Now, he went to a great New Testament assembly of believers that had excellent teaching. So there wasn't anything wrong with the input he was getting. But somebody at one point asked him if he would teach a Sunday school class. Now, we didn't have a giant assembly like some people go to these large assemblies. We had a little small assembly, particularly back then. So small that the Sunday school class he was asked to teach had one student in it. Well, he said, yes, he'll do it. And now, for the first time in his life, he was not just in a position of a receiver. He was now in a position where he would give out. Do you understand? And he did this. And he took his job seriously. And he studied in a different way, not just to read something in the Bible, but now he studied in how can I grasp this and then convey it in a way that my student will understand it? How can I do him good? He himself will tell you that this changed his Christian life. He himself will tell you that this was the turning point in his Christian life. Because now he, instead of being like the Dead Sea, is being like the Sea of Galilee. He's giving out what he's received, and he's being exercised in the things of God. He's also, something different for me, he also went to Denny's all the time, three times a week at least. I don't know if you have them out here. It's not my thing. Anyway, he went there. And he'd study for his Sunday school class at the Denny's. So he'll go in, he'll order, he'll have his Bible, and he will do his studying. Well, you kind of get a reputation that way. So people got to know him as the Bible man. And he got into conversations with people at the Denny's about the Lord and the gospel. So he's being now not only a Sunday school teacher, but a missionary to Denny's. Well, what's happening? The Lord is now expanding his service. He had to get started somewhere. But once he got started, now the Lord is expanding. And now he's witnessing to the people. Well, there was a waitress there. Her name was Dottie. She, let's say she didn't live such a wholesome life. But anyway, she had this child. She had a child. As an infant, this child died. He did not reach 1 year old. She was raised in a particular religion, but she knew enough to know that that wasn't the right thing. The only other person she knew that was religious was my brother. So she said, would you do the funeral for my little baby that died? He said he would. So now he studied in terms of how could he give an appropriate message at this funeral that also brings out the gospel appropriately. And he's studying this. Now he gets to the funeral. He finds out that she was friends with lots of people that he used to know. In fact, he used to work the landscaping business, and the people he used to work with are there at the funeral. You remember back when his life was a little more stagnant, his Christian life was a little more stagnant. God gave him the opportunity now to go back in time and to share the gospel with the people that he had missed when he worked with them back then. And there they are, seated and quiet and listening and thinking about eternal things because they're at a funeral. My brother opens the Bible and is able to share with them. It all started when he turned from being somebody who just was a receiver to being somebody who would then start giving it out. My food, says the Lord, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So advice for young people, we have these four pieces of advice. I'm going to ask you what the first one was. Don't say, be sure you're saved. No, the first one was, be absolutely, positively sure you're saved. The second one is, if you're genuinely saved, to be baptized. The third one is to find a way of getting into God's Word that you personally enjoy, that you personally can get into, and go for it. And then find a means of service to be active in the things of the Lord that you enjoy, or at least you sort of enjoy it, and go for it. So some piece of advice from an old rickety believer to you young whippersnappers. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that you are willing to use us at various stages in our Christian life. We pray for the young people here that they would develop a taste for the things of the Lord, that they would develop an enjoyment for God's Word, that they would develop a sensitivity and a joy in doing the work of the Lord, a sensitivity for seeing the opportunities and a joy in doing it. We pray that for those that are over these young ones, the parents, those in the assembly that are in leadership, and those that are just in the right place at the right time to be able to lend a helping hand to the younger ones. We pray that they would be brought along well in the things of the Lord, and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.